to build your faith? Do you desire to have a true encounter with God through His Word? Then listen to Logos Rhema Hour with Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobin, Head Pastor of Harvest Chapel International, Kumasi. He is a seasoned man of God and a teacher of the Word in its truth and simplicity. Make time with us each and every Monday to Friday at 2 p.m. on Spirit 88.3 FM as we encounter the Word of Truth. God richly bless you. Welcome to Logos Rhema Hour with God's servant, Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobin, Head Pastor of Harvest Chapel International, Kumasi. And now, to today's message.
Let's take our confession, Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but I shall meditate in it day and night, that I may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then I will make my way prosperous, and then I will have good success. Amen. It's a very complicated world. There's a physical and a natural component, and a supernatural component. And you better rise up. That's the fact. You can't run away. You can't pretend that there are no spiritual forces. There are no witches. There are no wizards. And they don't have power. Who told you? The people who are consulting, they are going all to the fetish shrine. They go, they get power. And the Bible documents and tells us, God said, I have allowed it. I have allowed Satan to do false signs and all that. So that those who don't want to be educated, they will be deceived. Because if you are reading the Bible and you have the Holy Spirit in you, and he's teaching you, you won't be deceived. You won't take signs and wonders and things on their face value. He says that you will examine the spirits behind. So one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God, verse 13. And then afterwards, when morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. You know, so for every major move in his life, he was praying, but he had learned to pray. He didn't start praying when he was starting ministry. Amen. Hallelujah. So we have seen he had a good foundation. He had a good foundation to have our prayer all night, he alone, before he started gathering the people, the company that we see in Acts chapter 4. This is the company. This is the beginning when he started bringing them. But you take note. He said that he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them. When we come to Acts chapter 1, we will see the criteria for which they laid down and then chose the successor to Judas Iscariot. They said, somebody who has been with us right from John's baptism. And this was after John's baptism, that Jesus went for the baptism. And he had disciples who were following them. They formed the band or the company of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So now let's jump to Luke 24. Let's see how he ends it. So that was it. That's that. Just from there. Maybe if we had looked at, was it Luke chapter 4, we would have seen how when he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. I'm sure maybe we'll crisscross and come there later on. So we have laid the foundation of the Word. We are laying the foundation of prayer. Maybe we should have looked at the foundation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit upon his life. Amen. You need these things to sustain your prayer life and conversations with God. Very, very, very critical. So we are talking about fellowship with prayer. You are not born again, so you don't have the Holy Spirit. You are not reading. And if you are not born again, it all starts with the born again experience. You don't have the Holy Spirit, you won't understand the Word. It will be boring. It will be boring because you don't have the Holy Spirit to educate you. And the teenagers amongst us, one of the things every time I tell the youth ministry that we want to see you born again. They should tell you born again until you get born again. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We want to see you born again. That's why Santa, we bring you so that we will let, we'll start. You must understand this. I wish that somebody had taught us these things when we were young.
But we didn't have the opportunity. But you have the privilege that mommy and daddy is bringing you to church. So we can hopefully teach these things, and then the Lord will open your eyes and understanding. Hallelujah. Amen. So now Luke is about ending it. Let's go to Luke 24, verse 44. Let's end it there and then we'll look. So he said to them, he's concluding the first book. He said, then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to, Jesus speaking to you whilst I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Now look at 45. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Amen. So he's preparing them for life after his ascension. Amen. Once again, he's also, just as we saw in his own life, personal life, he's laying that critical foundation of the word. So if the Bible says that he opened their understanding that they might comprehend. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. The understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Very, very foundational. That's how come they in the book of Acts, we see that the church, they were a praying church. When they are praying, Karabo say, ah, lele mo sinini mihanda baya, ramiko sekende kabaya. Remember, Paul will say that I am praying in tongues without my understanding, with my understanding. So it's not like you are praying, and but your mind is also engaging with God. Your mind is also engaging with God. So the tongue is on one side. That one we don't understand. He says it's a function of the Holy Spirit who is doing that. But you to your mind, you are engaging God in conversation. You are engaging God in conversation. That's what makes prayer meaningful. So the right foundation must be there. The word. You know your needs. Kalama seke. But in my mind, God, be gracious. God, be merciful. God, if you don't buy this toothpaste for me, there's going to be... Hallelujah. Amen. Simple prayers. Oh, simple childlike prayers. That's the secret. Everything. Everything. Hallelujah. Now, I'm sure there's a song like that. Take everything to God in prayer. There's a song like that. What a friend we have in Jesus. Yes. Everything to God in prayer. Take everything to God in prayer. So you realize that the whole day, you have a lot to say. Oh, isn't it? Hey, so the prayer startup, you exhaust your prayer list and the concerns. So the whole day, the little chance you come, you just retreat. God, please. I'm waiting. My school fees has not been paid. God, that's engaging God. But then the foundation, the understanding of the scriptures. Then he said to me, then, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Now look at 49. It said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And then he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. So this is what Luke investigated and had the living witnesses, eyewitnesses. He said those who accompanied him, those who ate with him like Peter, John, they were all there. Jesus' mom, Mary, they were there. So most of the accounts that Luke records in the gospel, he said, look, they are there. They are genuine. They are authentic. Jesus is real. The gospel is real. I'm not telling you, Tolly. So you get it, you are reading it and you're understanding it, that prayer is not something that you can decide, as for me, I don't pray, but my Christian life, I'll go to church and I'll survive. You won't survive. You can't survive without prayer. You can't survive without reading the word. You can't survive without fellowship. So we see him right at the onset of his ministry, he put a band together, a company that he could call his own. And Luke will tell us the days and times that when he wants to go anywhere, at least, if not the 12, at least Peter and John, the three, isn't it? And James, Peter, James, and John, the three were with him. Company, every time, company, company. The secret of effective prayer and ministry and everything, company. If you walk alone, so the day you don't come to church, nobody knows, nobody calls you. If you don't come, nobody will call back and find out why you didn't come. Company, company. It's very, very essential. Hallelujah. So Luke ends it. Now you can get the background. Now let's go to Acts chapter 1 now. Let's pick it up from there. So now you can understand Acts chapter 1 verse 1 and appreciate. Let's pick some lessons there. He said, now the former account. He's talking about the Gospel of Luke. I made, oh Theophilus, we saw the name of Theophilus there, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Both to do and teach. What was he teaching? Doctrine. Amen. Kingdom truths and knowledge. How the kingdom of God functions. How the kingdom of God functions. God has called us to belong to his kingdom. How does the kingdom work? Like I always say, just think about how Ghana works or how the Asante kingdom works. There's a king. There are laws. There are rules. There are responsibilities. That's how the kingdom functions. You can't be in the kingdom and not subscribe to the responsibilities of the kingdom. Amen. And you won't know them except that you are taught. That's how come you will find yourself in fellowship. Because within the context of that or the confines of that fellowship, you will be taught by people who are already there how it works. Because it's a generational thing. And the kingdom of God will abide here on earth until Jesus comes. So it is our duty. So as I'm teaching you, I'm expecting, or God is expecting, that we are educated. Any time that any one of the pastors comes here to teach to in the Bible study, we are passing on to you how the kingdom works. That even before you can belong to the kingdom, so that you can say your prayers, even if you are reciting Psalm 23, Psalm 23 must work for you if only you belong to the kingdom and you are seen as a citizen of the kingdom. That is why you will get yourself born again. Because I like this. I want to belong. Say a big amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus, he said he began to teach them and then to do, to teach and practice. To teach and practice. So he was teaching them. Mark 1:35 will tell us that he was there with the disciples. They were all sleeping in the same house. But a little while at dawn, before daybreak, he will rise up. And then go and look for a lonely place and a quiet place. And there the Bible says he prayed. So his prayer life alone was telling the people that he was this company of people that prayer is a necessity. It is something that you can't overlook in your life as a believer. Hallelujah. Amen. Why? Because of the kingdom that we have, we belong to. So you, if you are reading your word, it will tell you, it will teach you kingdom truths, to give you wisdom, understanding of our world. It will tell you about the king. It will tell you about a king that is a holy God. You want a sustained prayer life? You have to be holy. You have to do away with sin. And he has promised that he will help us do away with sin. He will empower us. That's why he sends the Holy Ghost. It's not all about forgiving sin. No, he gives us power to break the power of sin of our lives. He gives us power. How do we access the power? The anointing. The Bible says the anointing will break the yoke. How do we access the anointing? Some of the things that we are doing. So when we are fasting, we are accessing. It's one of the ways that we can have our voices held on high. So when we are fasting and you are struggling with sin, you won't joke with the fasting. I had three addictions. Four, five, three. Two have gone by the grace of God. There are still three. How am I going to get them going? So when we are fasting, I hope you are getting my point. The three too must go. And he says that for some of the addictions, they can't go except by prayer and fasting. especially the sexual sins. They can't just go. So you decide that because you have read it in the Word, you decide that, this fast, half day fast, I can do it. And God too will honor you with the results. That's how it works. And encourage you. God is such an encouraging dad. He's such an encouraging, he's such a true person. And that's what most of the accounts that Luke has already told us in the book of Luke or the Gospel of Luke. He says they are true accounts. It's not totally. And now he's about to tell us some mind-blowing. And Jesus is going to, and the Holy Spirit has come, and some mind-blowing things that happened in the early church. So that will not limit it to Jesus' appearance here on earth. After he went. So what was the secret of the early church? The Holy Spirit. So some Bible teachers have even said that that book should have been called the Acts of the Holy Spirit and not the Acts of the Apostles. Because you see the Holy Spirit working. And the Spirit of God that has come to live in you is holy. So you can't have access. Today you are up, tomorrow you are down, tomorrow you are up. You pray, nothing happened, then hallelujah. So the book that Jesus taught extensively. He taught about the Father, the King. He talked about the citizens of the kingdom. He will tell you about the principles and the rules that govern the kingdom in the Bible or in the Word. He taught about the adversary, the Satan. He will tell us about the war, the ongoing war. Sometimes you say that Satan, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. And you say there's no Satan. Then what are you doing in the kingdom? You don't belong to the kingdom. The master says that he saw Satan. He says, as for me, no. Because if you agree that you accept that there's a Satan, you pray. Have you seen Satan before? You think that the cartoon one, and the one with a pitchfork and then a tail. Satan and a tail. He's very happy when you see him like that and you think that in your mind, like it's a cartoon picture. Okay. So because he knows that you won't pray, you laugh at it. You are laughing at Satan. It means you have not read the Bible. The Bible says he came to steal, kill, and destroy. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's responsible for a lot of the things that go on. And you saw what he did to Job in the book of Job. That's how mean the character is. And you won't pray. So he talks, and Jesus educated about the adversary, the war that is ongoing, the cosmic war, the battles that need to be fought. Your own life, your own life. If you have not been able to be able, how can you fight for somebody when you yourself, you are in chains? So it's always you first. So you can help others. That's why you must be strong. That's why when we say we are fasting and praying, you do some. Because you want to be, I'm being able because people help me. So it's my duty to also help the next generation. And then the next, that is how it is done. Say a big amen. Amen. It's a generational thing. Hallelujah. Talks about the battles. He taught them about the weapons. The weapons. The weapons of praise. We've learned about them. The weapon. We saw Jehoshaphat. We saw even, the New Testament. Let's stay in the New Testament. We saw Paul and Silas as they went for the crusade in the Philippian jail. And then they decided, let's use the weapon of praise and prayer. And they were singing. And God, he says that when they were singing and praising God at that midnight, all the prisoners were listening. They were listening. If we look at what happened to the jailer who came and then the man who jailed them, the jailkeeper who came and then, you can sense that they knew that it was that extraordinary praise and worship that and prayer that was going on that brought about the earthquake. They had no doubts about that. Because immediately he came and he said, what shall I do in order to be saved? And he said, believe in Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your entire household. Luke is not telling us to you the power of prayer, the power of praise. Find yourself in chains! Fasting and prayer. And you do until all the three left addictions will be broken in the name of Jesus. Some days you are praying alone, it's not happening. You are still seeing the dreams and then the nightmares. Then you go and see Pastor Jeff and say, Pastor, I want to come for the prayer meeting when the prayer, so that you pray over my life. Lay hands, anoint me so that the nightmares can stay. We all went through those deliverances. And the prayer worked. Because he who the Son shall set free shall be free indeed. already. Hallelujah. So, prayer, all these are documented for our admonition and our learning. And if you are going to be, as we said it, let me conclude with that one. I mean, for the verse 1, we are looking at verse 1. Jesus began both to do and teach, and he demonstrated it. Teach, practice, theory, practice, the talk, the walk, the talk, the walk. But we are seeing his life. He liked the scripture. Every Saturday he's in church. He hardly misses church. And every night he was going to pray. After a hectic day, he's going to pray. Early in the morning, he's praying. Luke will tell us in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went about doing good, bringing healing and bringing deliverance, because God was with him. That's how it works. The Holy Ghost, as we fast and as we pray, and as we petition God, as we renounce sin in our lives and we access the grace of God to walk in purity, the power of God falls on us so we can live victorious lives. That's the secret. There's no shortcut. There is no shortcut. Either you are victorious or you are chained. So that's verse 1. Now let's go back to verse 2. Let's look at that. Until the day, because now you into. So we have seen, all, as I said, now Jesus is into. We saw when Luke was ending his book, he told them about how he opened their eyes and understanding that they may comprehend the scriptures. Now he himself begins to. Luke starts off, so he goes back a little bit. So he says that now he taught them how. Amen. Verse 1. So to teach and to do and to teach, the form of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. So he taught them the word, gave, brought understanding. Post resurrection 40 days, I guess there was so much to teach that for the 40 days that he was still hovering around, you know, with his resurrected body, he dedicated it to teaching. The Bible says from the law, the prophets and the Psalms, all that the Bible had said, he just gave them a thorough understanding. Because without understanding, you can't join the war. What moral right do you have? You think that it is not necessary that when we come to church, why cry are we fasting? We are fasting because of the next generation. Amen. Until Jesus comes, there will be another generation. If he doesn't attack me, he will attack my children. If he are not there, he will attack their children. So we can't say that me, I'm fine. So, no, pastor is not fine. When everybody else knows, pastors are not fine. Amen. Because you understand. It's a generational thing. To do and to teach. Now verse 2. Until the day in which he was taken up. Now he introduces the next key thing that will help a sustained prayer life. The Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom we had chosen. Now if you go to the book of Luke, you will see that Luke is very, very, very careful to introduce the Holy Spirit right from the beginning. When the angel Gabriel came and appeared to Mary. Mary is the mother of Jesus. Mary, and then when she said that you are going to give birth, and say, how can it be said the power of the Most High God will overshadow you? The power of the Most High God will overshadow you, and you will take seed. It will be a holy seed. Immediately, he's trying to tell us that right from the beginning, before Jesus was even conceived, the Holy Spirit was there. At his baptism, the Holy Spirit was there. Throughout the ministry, Luke is telling us how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power and the ability to do good, charismatic gifts, and then the fruit of the Holy Spirit, goodness, mercies, and all compassion. So you can't be a prayerful person now with Timothy. Say amen to that. You see how the whole thing works out? We want to be like Jesus. We don't want to be like ourselves. So the prayer and those things, they will tenderize your heart. You can't be exercising charismatic gifts without fruit of the Holy Spirit. They go together. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, with power. How he went about doing good. So in right at the beginning, he's telling until the Holy Spirit was there. As the ascension, the last time, the Holy Spirit was there to make sure that Jesus would go to heaven safely. And the cross, he was there. In the tomb, he was there. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that if the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, if it is the same Holy Spirit that is alive and resident in us, it says he's able to quicken our mortal bodies and give us strength, grace, wisdom, understanding, empowerment, courage, boldness to stand and fight. You think we are not hungry? We are hungry, but we eat, we don't say we won't eat. We say we won't eat. It's not so. It's not that we are not hungry. We say we won't eat. We'll pray until we see people at liberty. That's the secret. You say, oh, this church, we lie fast. Yes, we lie fast because we love people. Say amen. That's the secret. You think we get hungry. We get hungry. Sometimes we go open the fridge and then we leave that. And we tell ourselves, 6 p.m. we'll come back. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, that's when you are fasting, you say, ah, this one, dear. And you are sema. Turn to somebody and say, press on. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Oh, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Somebody turn to someone and say, the Holy Spirit. Oh, my remo sekende, the necessity of the Holy Ghost. So throughout the life and ministry of Jesus, the Holy Spirit was there. And it's the same thing. That's why God seals us. The Holy Spirit is the one. That partnership is what is going to take you to heaven. Say amen. You miss the Holy Spirit, you miss heaven. Hallelujah. If during the journey, the pilgrimage, at a point in time, you turn and you find that the Holy Spirit has deserted you, you are in big trouble. You may not end up in heaven. He is the one responsible to take us. He is supposed to be there. He says that, lo, I am with you until the end of the age. That's the big promise that he's talking about here. The promise of the Father, the seal of the Holy Ghost, the accompaniment of the Holy Ghost to ensure that we will get to heaven safely. Keeping us, protecting us, providing for every legitimate need. So in the Christian life, it is all about the Holy Spirit. But then we have already established the foundations already. The Word. The Holy Spirit will not do mundane things without it being, if you like, founded on the principle of the Word of God. That's why you must read your Word. Don't build your Christian life on dreams and vision. No. Amen. The Word. The Word. And then the conversations with God, the fellowship, the company. You must belong to a company. And you must be seen to belong. It's one big family. You must be seen to belong. Oh, I am with them, but yekwa umba. We say we are fasting. Half day soon to be.
This broadcast was proudly sponsored by the friends and partners of Harvest Chapel International Kumasi. Thank you for listening to Logos Rhema Hour with Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobi. We believe that as you act on this word, God's power will transform your life.